We're beginning here with the Mishnah on the bottom of your Aleph Amud Bet. Mishnah says, "Dishur mizbecha pnimi v'amneura lo nehenin v'lo ma'alin." When it comes to the ashes that have to be removed from the mizbecha pnimi, that's mizbecha zahav that is found in the Eichal, upon which the ketoret is brought every day, the ashes from that mizbech when they're cleared off, as well as the ashes from the menorah, from the body of menorah each day after they do dishun ha-menorah, they clear out the menorah. What do they do with those ashes? They place them actually next to the ramp of the Mizbech HaChitzon, the same place that they place the Trumat HaDeshen. But as opposed to the Trumat HaDeshen, which has a din in Mi'ilah, when it comes to the Dishon of Mizbech HaPnimi, Vamnorah, Lo Nehenin, Velo Mo'alin. There is no Iser Mi'ilah associated with that. In the past, we've translated Ein Mo'alim or Lo Mo'alim mean there's no Iser Mi'ilah Deoraita, but there is an Iser Mi'ilah Derabanan, and that Iser Mi'ilah Derabanan is what it means, Lo Nehenin. Tosafot over here mentions what we saw in Rashi back on Gimel Amud Bet, that the Lo Mo'alim over here means Lo Mo'alim the Gamre. There is no Mi'ila Deoraita, and there is no Mi'ila Dirabanan. That there's only an Isur that's associated with this, no Mi'ila whatsoever. And that again is to reconcile between the fact that the Mishnah uses different terminologies. It has Mi'ila Deoraita. It has Mi'ila when it sometimes means Mi'ila Dirabanan. And then you have this position called Lo Nehenin V'lo Mo'alim. And Tosfa points out, when the Mishnah says Lo Mo'alim in other places, it means Lo Mo'alim means the Gamre, not Midoraita, not Midirabanan. So again, over here, you have those two possibilities of what Lo Nehenin V'Lo Mo'alim means. Next line in the Mishnah is a Makdish Dishun B'Tchila Mo'alim Ba. Someone who is Makdish, the ashes, in the beginning, is Mo'el Ba. This is a very difficult line in the Mishnah, and the Rishonim disagree about how to explain it. The simplest way to explain this line is to say that someone who's makdish ashes to the Perek Abayit, then those ashes have a problem of mi'ilah until they are redeemed, until they are given over to the Perek Abayit and assessed for their value and redeemed. But the problem with that, as Tosafot points out, is that we're going to have Mishnayot coming up here. Let's say even if a person's makdish a garbage pile, then there's mi'ilah in the garbage pile because it belongs to Perek Abayit. So what do you have to tell me about ashes if we're going to talk about a garbage pile later on? So that can't be the explanation over here. So therefore, all the Rishonim have to come up with an alternative explanations to this. Tosafot himself says, "V'chein nira," that what is going on over here is the ma'ir b'adam shenatal mitrumat adeshen achar shehurma, that someone took from the trumat adeshen after it was already separated out, v'gdisha, and now he's makdishit ma'alin ba min haTorah. Then there's mi'ila in it min haTorah. Let's talk about someone who took the trumat adeshen after it was already taken off and then was makdishit, that there's a din mi'ila over there. The problem with that explanation is that we know when it comes to the Trumat HaDeshen, even after it's placed down on the side of the Mizbeach, that we say there is Samo Eitzel HaMizbeach. That once you place it Eitzel HaMizbeach, that Trumat HaDeshen still has a din of Gniza, still has a din of Mi'ilah or Kedusha that's residual in it. And therefore it doesn't go away. So why do you have to be Makdish in order to create the Mi'ilah? The other possibility is what's left behind. That which the Trumat HaDeshen was taken away from, that which remains behind, which is subject to the Machlok of the Rav and Rabbi Yochanan before about Hotzat HaDeshen. So, it's unclear how that really fits into our Gemara over here. The alternative shot is borne by the Rabbeinu Gershom. The Rabbeinu Gershom says over here is that, Hanuk Amar, Im Higdish Echad Ma'ut Dmei Oto Dishun. Person says that the Dishun of the Mizbech HaPnimi or the Menorah. He says, I'm going to give the value of that to Hegdesh. And then they bring it out and they pile it up next to the Mizbech. But they have to assess the value of that Dishun in order for him to give the monies to Perek Abayit. In the interim, someone comes and takes that Dishun. Now, inherently, there is no Mi'ilah, as we said in the Mishnah, too, the Dishun Mizmech HaPnimi, and the Dishun HaMenorah. But over here, since this person now has offered the value of this Dishun to Perek Abayit, that object now has value in the sense that you need it to assess how much he owes. And therefore, if someone else takes it away, or is mafsid those ashes, then they are Gorei Mehefseid to Hekdesh, because now we can no longer assess how much this person owes. And therefore, the Rabbeinu Gershom says, when this person offers that money based on the value of the ashes, and then someone gets an awe or takes those ashes, that's what the mi'ilah is over here. Now, that's also somewhat difficult, because we know that that's a machloket in the Gemara Psachim and other places, which is something that's called a davar hagorem lemamon, something that causes a monetary loss. In and of itself, it doesn't have value. The dishun itself, when you destroy it, you're not destroying something of value. It's that it's gorem lemamon. It causes a loss somewhere else. Over here, it's causing a loss because someone offered the value of this dishun. And there, there's a machloket, whether davar gorim da mamon is kemamon dami or not. So then you're entering into a world that is not only dealing with kodashim, but also deals with these other issues that have to deal with nizikin. Rashi, on the other hand, offers another possibility, which is also very difficult. Rashi says that when we talk about the trumat hadeshen that's placed down next to the ramp of the mizbeach, then we know remains and has residual problems of mi'ilah. The Dishon, Mizbecha, Pnimi, and the Menorah do not have that residual problem Me'ilah. Once they're placed down, there is no din of Me'ilah anymore. But Rashi says, once they're all there together, then if you're Nene from it, you're Chayav and Me'ilah, because there's no way you couldn't get some Hanoah from the Chumat HaDeshen that was there. Since they're all mixed together, therefore there is some aspect of it that does have a din of Me'ilah, and because of that, you're Chayav and Me'ilah for that Chumat HaDeshen. And the last possibility, which might be what Tosfot is referring to, depending on what Girsi Evan Tosfot, is that someone takes the deshen that was brought out from the Mizbeach HaPnimi or from the Menorah, but don't have residual problems of Me'ilah with them, and then that person was Makdish, those ashes. Then there is a din of Me'ilah on those ashes. Again, it has some problems because that's the equivalent of being Makdish Zevel, but it might be that it's coming to teach us the Chiddush that even though that the deshen Mizbeach HaPnimi and the deshen of the Menorah do not have Me'ilah associated with them because of the mitzvah, nevertheless, if you are Makdish them, then you can reinsert or reapply the dinei mi'ilah to these ashes. Then the Mishnah moves on. Torin, shaloi giazmanan. We're talking about torim. Torim have to be mature in order to be brought in the mizbeach. They have to reach the point when they are already adult birds, and that is once they're past the point where they are tzahov, their feathers are yellow. And bnei yonah shavar zmanam. Bnei yonah, as they sound from bnei, are the young ones. They're only kosher to put on the mizbeach when they are young. Shavar zmanam, they pass their time. Again, when they have their feathers turned yellow, they are no longer ra'oy l'mizbeach. Lo nanin v'lo ma'alim, have this din of lo nanin v'lo ma'alim, because they're no longer ra'oy l'mizbeach. And we'll see in the Gemara why there's no other association of me'ilah with them. Now the Gemara says, bishlama mizbeach ha'chitzon dichtiv be. I understand when it comes to the ashes of the mizbeach ha'chitzon, what the din is. Because by mizbeach ha'chitzon, it says in the beginning of Parshat Tzav, by the Chumat HaDeshen, Merimet HaDeshen, Asher Tuchala Eishet Ola, Al Mizbech, V'samo Oweitz Al Mizbech, that you'll take it off the Mizbech, and place it down next to the Mizbech. Mizbech HaBnimi Minolan. But how do I know that's true by the Mizbech HaBnimi? What the Gemara's question over here is somewhat difficult. I mean, what does the Gemara know, and what is the Gemara looking for right now? We just said in the Mishnah that Mizbech HaBnimi does not have a din in Me'ilah. So what is it that the Gemara is searching for? It says, oh, we know about Mizbech HaKitzon, because it says, Samo Oweitz Al Mizbech. So we know that Mizbeach HaKitzon has Me'ilah. So now what's the Gemara asking? Where do we know that Mizbeach HaPnimi has Me'ilah? Where do we know that Mizbeach HaPnimi doesn't have Me'ilah? So Tosafot goes through all these permutations about what the question of the Gemara is. And in the end, he comes to a conclusion that the Gemara's question here is, how do you know where to put the deshen? How do you know where to put the ashes that you take off the Mizbeach? That's both by the Chumata deshen, as well as by the Mizbeach HaPnimi and the Menorah. How do you know where to put them? So the Gemara says, when we take the Chumat HaDeshen, I know where we put those ashes, because it says, Vitzamo Eitzel HaMizbeach, you put it next to the Mizbeach. But then I don't know where you put the ashes from the Mizbeach HaPnimi and the Menorah. I said before, you just put them in the same place. But how do you know that? And that's the Gemara's question over here. Rashi says the similar item. He says, yes, how do you know where do you place the ashes of the Mizbeach HaPnimi? But he adds on an additional dimension, which has to do with the explanation in the Mishnah, which is, She'aya Menicho Eitzel Mizbeach HaKitzon, where do you know that you put it next to Mizbeach HaKitzon? And how do you know that once you put the Mizbeach HaPnimi's ashes and the Menorah's ashes together with the Chumat HaDeshen, that there is a din of Me'ilah? And that accords with Rashi's position in the Mishnah, that that's the problem over here. That once you mix them together, then there's a din of Me'ilah on them, even though beforehand there was no din of Me'ilah of them when they were independent items. So Gemara asks, so how do I know this when it comes to the Mizbeach HaPnimi? So Gemara quotes a pasuk from the beginning of Sefer Vayikra when it comes to Olat Tov. Amar Lazar de Amar Kra. Morato bit notzata. So when it deals with the Ola, in the beginning of the parasha, it says that you have to take off Ve'esirat Morato bit notzata v'shlichota itzel ha-mizbeach. You throw that next to the mizbeach, kedma, on the eastern side of the mizbeach, on the ramp, el mekom ha-dashen, the place where the deshen is. So that pasuk teaches me where the location of the deshen. The deshen is on the eastern side of the ramp now, because it says kedma over there. And it says you put the waste, or that which you're not going to put on the mizbeach from the Ola, you throw it over there to the same place where the deshen is. And the Gemara says now, I don't need this from Mizbech HaKitzon, because we already had that from Parshat Tzav. Parshat Tzav, it says, take off the Chumat HaDeshen, and put it next to the Mizbech. So why over here do I need information about where to place this item? So, So we don't need it from Mizbech HaKitzon, let's learn on the Mizbech Pnimi that you place the Deshen in the same place that you put the Mizbeach HaKitzon, which means next to the ramp or outside on the eastern side of the Mizbeach. So Mara says, Ema idi v'idi Mizbeach HaKitzon. Let us say that they're both talking about the Mizbeach HaKitzon v'bo alo makom, and to tell us where to place it. So the way Rashi learns this, and Tosafot brings a possibility of learning it like this and rejects it, It says that it's coming to teach us where to put the Ola, its waste, where do you put it? So we know that Shuvat HaDeshen you put next to the Mizbeach. But how do I know where to put the waste from the Oaf? Where do I know where to put that? So this is what the Pasuk is coming to tell me. Put it in the same place you put the Deshen. So there's information in the Pasuk that's valuable to the Mizbeach HaKitzon, so how can we be using it for the Mizbeach HaPnimi? Tosafot, on the other hand, points out something very interesting, and that is, by the Pasuk in Tzav, it just says, V'samo etzel ha-mizbeach, that you put the Shuvat HaDeshen next to the Mizbeach. On the other hand, it doesn't tell you what next to the Mizbeach means. Here in the Pasuk in Vayikra Aleph, when it's talking about the Olat Ha'Of, it tells you where to put it. It says that you place it, V'shlich ota etzel ha-mizbeach kedma, on the eastern side, El Mekom HaDeshen. So it tells you that the Mekom HaDeshen is on the eastern side. So maybe I need both of these Pasukim just to teach me about the Mizbeach Chitzon, that's what it says. To teach me where you put the Shuvat HaDeshen. You needed to know that it was on the eastern side of the ramp, or the eastern side of the Mizbeach. That you didn't know. That information wasn't there before, and that's why you need both Psukim. And the Gemara's answer is, Imkein lemakra, Eitzel HaMizbeach. My HaDeshen. So let it just say, Eitzel HaMizbeach. What does the extra word HaDeshen mean? Tafil HaMizbeach HaPnimi. Even the Mizbeach HaPnimi. So according to Rashi, what you have here is that the Pasuk could have said by the Olat Ha'Of, it could have just told us, if he wants to tell us where to put it, it could have said, Vishlichoto Eitzel HaMizbeach. Kedma. And then, that would have been fine. We would have known where to put it. El Mekom HaDeshen. Mekom HaDeshen, that is extra extraneous. That extra Mekom HaDeshen comes to teach us that HaDeshen, another Deshen goes in that location as well, and that's the Deshen of the Mizbeach HaPnimi. The way Tosafot's learning is, you could have just written the puzzle, Vishlichot Toetz Mizbeach Kedma. Kedma, there you know about East already, so now you know where to place it. Again, Mekom HaDeshen, what do you need that for? That's coming to teach me about Mizbeach HaPnimi. Then Menorah Minelan. How do I know where the ashes of the menorah goes? So now it says, Deshen HaDeshen. Rashi learns out it's the hay, the extra hay. It says a makom, it could have written makom Deshen, instead it says HaDeshen with the hay ayidia. That extra hay ayidia teaches me that also the Deshen of the menorah goes in that location of the Shuvat HaDeshen and Mizbeach HaPnimi. On the other hand, Tosafot says it's actually a gzeira shava of Deshen Deshken, Nafkalan mi Mizbeach. We have a gzeira shava between the word Deshen that's mentioned by the menorah to the Deshen that's mentioned by the Mizbeach. And therefore, that Gzeira Shava will teach us that just like the Deshen of Mizbeach HaPnimi goes to the same place as the Shuvat HaDeshen, so too the Deshen of Menorah goes to that location. Alright, next Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Omer, now really it's a continuation of the previous Mishnah. In the previous Mishnah, the Tanakhama said that when it comes to birds, if they've either become too mature, they've aged out, the Bnei Yonah, or by the Torim, where they're not old enough, then neither of those, when you makdish them, do they have a din in Mi'ilah. Rabbi Shimon argues on that and says there's a difference between Torim and Bnei Yonah. By Torim, who have yet to age, or reach the age of maturity where they can be put on Mizbeach, there is a din of Milo on them. Bnei Yonah, Shavar Zmanan, on the other hand, Bnei Yonah, that have already graduated out, and are too old to replace the Mizbeach, they're lo nin blo mo'alin ben. He agrees to the Tanakhama. So the Gemara says, Bishlamo, Rabbi Shimon, kedik tani taima. I understand Rabbi Shimon's position. It's very clear what Rabbi Shimon's position is here, which is, Rabbi Shimon says, by shchutei chutz, there's a machok between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim about whether Mechuser Zman has a din or a problem in Shchutei Chutz. And so Rabbi Shimon says, Kol ha-ro'oi la'achar Zman, anything that after a certain amount of time will be ro'oi le'mizbeach, v'higdisho. And he's makdish it betoch Zmano. But he's makdish it before it reached that point in time, for instance, an animal before it's reached the age of 8 days. An animal cannot be around the Mizbeach until it's reached the 8 days old. So he's makdish it before that. Does it work? Or v'idash Shchutei Chutz with that before that, is that a problem? So Rabbi Shimon says, yes, that the Hakdasha works. And number two is that you're Chayav Shchutei Chutz in that case. But not for Karet. Shchutei Chutz is normally Karet. This week's Parsha Achrimot. Normally you get Karet, but over here it's only a Lotase. It's only a Lav that you violate. Veinbo Karet. But the Rabbanon disagree with him and say that that's not the case. So Rabbi Shimon is consistently Shitato now. Rabbi Shimon says something that is eventually going to reach a point where it is Ra'ui the Kodesh, if you Makdish it early, or if you do something improper with it early, it has an impact. So too over here. Where you makdish the Torim, who will eventually become Gra'oi the Mizbeach, there will be a din of Mi'ilah on them, they will be called Kodshi Hashem, because they eventually will reach the point where they are Gra'oi the Mizbeach. On the other hand, Bnei Yonah, who are the other way around, they are Kodesh, and then they're going to graduate out, be too mature to be put on the Mizbeach, over there is no Mi'ilah once they've graduated out, because they'll never reach a point anymore where they can be placed on the Mizbeach. So I understand the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, but then, what is the Shita of the Chachamim? I don't understand. The Rabbanon might not be Mechuser Zman. How is this different than a Mechuser Zman? As Rashi points out, by a Mechuser Zman, if you have Meiser Behema, you have Behemot that you're going to count for your 10 for Meiser Behema, if one of those animals is less than 8 days old, it's not really the Mizbeach. So can you count it towards Maser? Over there we said, yes, it works, you can do it. The Gemara learns it out, just like a Bechor is Kadosh from the Rechem, even though it can't be put on the Mizbeach till 8 days later, so too b'maser, it works even before the 8 days, you can be Mafrish Maser, and obviously if it's one of the other nine, it doesn't matter, and if it's the tenth one, you wait and then you put on the Mizbeach. So even the Chachamim agree to that. So if the Chachamim agree over there that Mechusar Zman has a din in Kodshei Hashem and a din that it can become Kadosh and count towards Maser, then why over here do they not agree to Rabbi Shimon's position with regards to Torim? So Yismar says, wait a minute, that's different. When you're talking about something that's a mum, then it has a pidyon, it has value that it can be redeemed. Over there, we can discuss the fact, or we can say that it's Kodshei Hashem. Because over there, you have the ability, if it's not ro'oi, if it doesn't work, then you can redeem it. And then the monies will go to the Hekdesh, will go towards purchasing them for the Mizbeach. So there, whether the animal is a tam, or whether it's a bal mum, it remains Kodshei Hashem. Aval hani ofot, by birds is different. Kevin dein mum posel be'ofot. Sim mum does not affect ofot. Now it's really lav dafka, because mumim, if it's mechusar aver, it does affect the ofot. But since a mum, a small mum, doesn't affect ofot, ein lofot pidyon. There's also a din that ofot do not have any redemption. They don't have an ability to be redeemed. So now, that's the reason of the Chachamim over here. Chachamim say that that's the same thing over here. These Ofot, when they're out of age, and when they're not of Kodoshim, they're not going to allow you to be called, or they won't be called Kodshei Hashem, because they can't be used for anything. They're actually worthless. They're not good to be brought now on the Mizbeach, and they're also not good to be redeemed to use for something on the Mizbeach. By Behema, Bal Mum still has value because it's a Bar Pidyon. So too, Mechus Yizman also is going to have value to it, and still going to be Kadosh. On the other hand, when it comes to Ofot, which have no din in Bal Mum, they're not like, even if they were a Bal Mum, you can't redeem them, so too, Mechus Yizman, you can't redeem them. Since there's no din in Pidyon, therefore there will be no din in Mi'ilah, according to the Chachamim. And now we're going to have a statement we quoted earlier on, this is on Daf Bet, we saw the statement from Ulam Rabbi Yochanan, that Ulam Rabbi Yochanan, Kodshim Shemetu Yatsu Midei Mi'ilah Dvar Torah. The Kodshim that die, lose their din in Mi'ilah Min HaTorah, because they're not worth anything anymore. You can't put them on the Mizbeach, because they're dead. You can't redeem them because ain't podim kodeshim nachilam de klavim. You don't redeem kodeshim to feed them to the dogs because they are in a velot now. So yotiv ulo v'kamer la'ashmaita rav chista. So he was saying over this memra to rav chista. So amalei rav chista. Rav chista said back to him, man shamalach rabbi yochanan ravech. Says who gave you this? Who told you this? And who your rebbe rabbi yochanan? Where do you ever come up with this? V'chik dusha ashben heichan halcha. If they were kadosh and it didn't meila, where did it go? It just disappeared. The kedusha just was gone all of a sudden? So Ula responds to Rav Chista and says, Tikshe Maknitin, why do you have a problem with what we said? Why don't you ask something on our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says, Torin shalu giyazmanan ubnei yunasha vazmanan lo ne'enim velo ma'alin. If you have Torim that have yet to reach the age where they can be brought on the Mizbeach, or bnei yunah who were of age and now are beyond the age where they can put on the Mizbeach, they don't have a din of Mi'ilah. And from the Mishnah, it sounds like the bnei yunah could have been Kadosh beforehand. Bnei yunah could have been Kadosh. They are aged out of being used on the Mizbeach, and we say, and any male molim. Why don't you ask the question, where did the Mi'ilah go? So now, over here, there's a machloket in the gears between Rashi and Tosafot. Rashi says that this is a continuation of the statement of Ula, Aval, and that the word is not Amarlei, but Aval, according to Rashi, and it continues, Aval Modina Locha. I agree to you, the Ika Mi'ilah Midarabonon. And Ula is agreeing to that position of Rav Chista. He says, I agree with you that the Mi'ilah doesn't disappear entirely. Yes, Midoraita does have Mi'ilah, but it still has a residual Mi'ilah Midrabanan. So that's the way Rashi will read it. And then, Vekashali. And then, it will continue now, that Rav Chista asked the question. That's the way Rashi learns this sequence in the Gemara. Well then, Tosafot has the gears of Amarlei. Amarlei is a statement by Rav Chista, and not Ula. Ula finishes his question from our Mishnah. So Amarlei, and then, Rav Chista responds to him and says, Modina locha, de'ika Mi'ilah Midrabanan. I agree with you that when it comes to this case, you're right. There is no Mi'ilah Midoraita with these Bnei Yonah that graduated out, and I understand why Kodshim that died also don't have a Mi'ilah Midoraita. We're only talking about possibly a Mi'ilah Dirabanan. Bekoshali. But this is my question. Mi'ika Mide de Mikara lo itbe Mi'ilah, besof itbe Mi'ilah? Is there anything that originally doesn't have Mi'ilah in it, in the end it does have Mi'ilah in it? So in that instance, the question will be the same as Rashi. Is it just who is the questioner and who is the speaker of Modina Lach is the difference between them? Tosafot then rejects that explanation of, do we ever have things that in the beginning are not Mi'ilah and then they eventually come to Mi'ilah? He says he doesn't like that pshat, there are a number of questions that he brings on it, and then he brings an alternative pshat and he says, l'chein nira. This is the way to explain it. Hachi berushu modin lecha de'ika Mi'ilah midrabanan, klomar, k'mo sh'ata suver mitoch kushyoto de'ika Mi'ilah min ha-Torah, that you can see from my question, you thought I thought there was Mi'ilah min ha-Torah, I agree with you that it is Mi'ilah Midrabanan. But this is my question. I don't understand you. You're saying now that Kochim that die don't have Mi'ilah Doraita, but they do have Mi'ilah Dirabanan. Which means that you're indicating that all Kochim that die have a din of Mi'ilah Dirabanan. But all Kochim that die include Kochim Kodashim and Kochim Kalim. So when it comes to Kochei Kodashim, they did have a din of Mi'ilah. So when they had a din of Mi'ilah, they died. Now they have a din of Mi'ilah Dirabanan. But Kochim Kalim, on the other hand, when you're talking about Kochim Kalim never have Mi'ilah. They don't have a din of Mi'ilah till Zrikat Adam. And they died before the Zrikat Adam. Now you're going to say that they have a din of Mi'ilah Midrabanan afterwards? They start out with no Mi'ilah, and now they're going to have Mi'ilah Dirabanan according to your memra that Kochim that die have Mi'ilah. He says, do we ever have such a paradigm where something could start out with no Mi'ilah whatsoever, and the end, it ends up with Mi'ilah. So then the Gemara continues and says, Velo, we don't have an instance like that. We just had earlier in our Mishnah, we have an instance like that, which is, Vayik Adam. You have the case of Dam. Demikara late Bami'ilah. In the beginning, Dam has no Mi'ilah. Ulubsof, Yidmei Mi'ilah. In the end, it does have a din in Mi'ilah. It's not. We had our Mishnah just before. Dam etchila in molimbo. Yatzal Nachal Kidron, when it goes out to Nachal Kidron, after it exits from the underneath of the Mizbech into the Kidron, molimbo. Then the Gananim, the gardeners, and the people come to buy it for fertilizer have to pay from it because there is a din mi'ilah midrabanan. So according to Tosafot, that's the same paradigm. It's the same case. You have a case here where originally there was no din mi'ilah, and yet in the back end, there is a din mi'ilah midrabanan. So you have Dam, which has no mi'ilah up front, d'oraita. And the back end, all of a sudden, you have Mi'ilah Midrabanan, which is from Nachal Kidron. And same thing here. When Kochim Kalim, in the beginning, they have no din in Mi'ilah. Then after Kochim Kalim died, there is din Mi'ilah Dirabanan. And that's the comparison of the cases. According to Rashi, he's asking about our Mishnah. Do we ever have a case where you start out something that does not have Mi'ilah, and then all of a sudden it does have Mi'ilah in it? How in our Mishnah do we have this case of Torin, Shlo Gilas Manan, where they don't have any Mi'ilah up front, and all of a sudden when they reach the point when they're of age that you have Mi'ilah Dirabanan? I can understand a case where you have Mi'ilah Doraita up front, and then after it dies, there's Mi'ilah Dirabanan. But in a case where you have no Mi'ilah up front, and then in the back end you have Mi'ilah Dirabanan, where'd you get such a thing? That's what Rashi is going to ask. And he says, yes, by Dam. By Dam we have no Mi'ilah up front, and yet we have Mi'ilah in the back end, Midrabanan. The Gemara says, what about Dam? Dam's exactly that type of case, but before it didn't have Mi'ilah, and now all of a sudden it does have Mi'ilah in it. Problem, and this is what Tosafot points out, and why he rejects this understanding, is because, number one, when you're talking about the Mi'ilah of the Torim, you're talking about Mi'ilah Doraita. The proof that the Gemara is about to bring is a Mi'ilah Dirabanan. Number two is, it seems that the Gemara was sudden shift. He was before asking about a question that dealt with the statement of Ulam Rabbi Yochanan. Now all of a sudden you jump over to have the question relate to the Mishnah. The way Tosafot has it, it continues, the questioning continues with the statement of Ulam Rabbi Yochanan. Over there there's also Mi'ilah up front. Dam is not free of Mi'ilah up front. Damarav. Hemikis Dam the Beimat Kochim. Someone who bloodlets an animal for medicinal reasons, bloodlets an animal that is Kodesh, a Surbanao Molimbo. There's Mi'ilah in that blood. So Tosa says, what do you mean? We just had an explicit Mishnah that Dam does not have a din of Mi'ilah. So the answer to the question is in terms of what type of Dam. Dam that is Ra'ui Lekapara, Dam a Nefesh that's Ra'ui Lekapara, that Dam doesn't have a din of Mi'ilah because that dam is used for the Mizbech. And there we said, it's either for your use, it's the Chapara, whatever diukim that we made out of the psukim before, that dam doesn't have a din Mi'ilah. But over here, where the dam is like the Gufa Behema, it's not going to be used for Chapara, it's not going to be used on the Mizbech. Over there, that dam does have a din Mi'ilah. So there is a din Mi'ilah of dam up front. So dam's not a good proof. And now, the Gemara continues to look into that more deeply. Gufa. Amravun Amarav, Amikiz dam lebeinat kochim, asurbana molimbo. Meitiv rabam nuna, cholav hamugdashim ubeitzei torim. When it comes to the milk production of something that is hekdesh, or the egg production of something that is hekdesh, things that are kodesh, lo ne'anin v'lo ma'alim. These are mishnayot we're going to do shortly. There is no din of mi'ilah by them. So how come over here you're saying the blood does have din of mi'ilah, and yet the production of the animals do have a din of mi'ilah? I'm like, ki gamrina on the gabe dam. What I'm talking about is dam, d'lo mitkaima below dam. When you're talking about an animal can't live without the blood. The blood is essential to the animal. Therefore it has a din like the goof of the animal, and have a din of Mi'ilah. Of a chalav, dekag mekayma below chalav, an animal can live without producing milk, and an animal can live without laying eggs, and therefore it's not essential to their being. Therefore we would not consider those items to be a part of the goof of the animal. So meitiv rabbi sharshia, is that really true? We also have a mission that says, azevel v'peresh shebechatzer, the fertilizer, the dung, and the excrement that is let out of the animal that's found in the chatzer, einenin v'en mo'alim, v'yiplu damav v'lishka. You can't get enough from it. So here is something that's exiting the animal. something that the animal has to essentially do. The excrement is a part of the digestive process of the animal. And even though it needs it, it only has a din mi'ilah mi'drabonon, or maybe not mi'ilah at all, depending how you read. Lo ne'anim ve'lo mo'alim. But there's no mi'ilah d'oraita. So how come by blood, which is essential, you say mi'ilah d'oraita? Over here, by the perish and by the zevel, you don't say that that has a din of mi'ilah d'oraita. Tamar says, wait a minute. Am I, hochanami lo mekayim ve'lo perish? What are you going to say now? It doesn't live without perish. It has to have excrement. It has to remove the excrement from it. So Amrei, my area. How do you compare these cases? Hadain perish, dimin almakatilo. When you're talking about perish, when you're talking about excrement or digestive, partially digested food inside of the animal, that comes from outside. Meaning that the animal eats, and then it creates the perish, it creates the zevil. So because it creates it, something that's external, and it's reproduced over and over and over again, that's not going to have a din in mi'ilah. That's not considered part of the goof of the animal. On the other hand, when you're talking about dam, the animal is born with. When that dung leaves, that excrement leaves, more comes in as he digests more. When you're talking about dam is a part of migufahu. That's a part of the body of the animal, because it's born with it. Tosfot also points out that before we said that chalav amukdashim, the milk production of those items that are kodesh, they don't have a din mi'ilah. That doesn't mean that the chalav is mutar. The chalav could be asur, and it is. It says, tzbach v'chalto basar, it says basar v'lo chalav. You're allowed to eat the meat of psulei mukdashim, you're not allowed to eat the milk of psulei mukdashim. And that's psulei mukdashim, that's mukdashim that have a mum in them. Certainly regular kodeshim, you're not allowed to eat the milk production. But even though you're not allowed to eat the milk production of that animal, still, it doesn't mean that it has a din mi'ilah, because it's not called kodeshi Hashem. It will not go on the mizbeach. The milk is not really the mizbeach. It's not a part of the goof of the animal. And therefore, even though it's a sur for you to get hanah from it, it still will not have a din of mi'ilah, because it's not classified as kodeshi Hashem. Now the Gemara continues. The fact that we said there's no iser mi'ilah mi'doraita, but yet, the value of the excrement of the dung belongs to the lishka, belongs to berek abayit. Misayle the Rabbi Elazar, that helps the position of Rabbi Elazar. Damar Rabbi Elazar, kol makom shemu chachamim kadosh ve'eno kadosh. Anytime the chachamim say in the Mishnah, it's somewhat kadosh, but not totally kadosh. And all the Mishnahim say that kadosh ve'eno kadosh here means lo ne'anin ve'lo mo'alin. It's a synonym for that expression. Then damav yiplu lishka. Then the value still belongs to the lishka. So even though it doesn't have a din of mi'ilah midoraita, may not even have a din of mi'ilah midorabanan, depending on which of the Mishnahim, but nevertheless, the value of that item still belongs to the Mikdash. And therefore, that value is given to the Mikdash. That supports that position of Rabbi Elazar, that whenever you have this din of lo ne'anin v'lo mo'alin, it still means that it belongs to Mikdash. It's not that it's hefker. It's not that it doesn't belong to Hekdesh. It does belong to Hekdesh. There just may not be any din of mi'ilah, because it's not called kodeshi Hashem. Tosfot rejects the other alternative of explaining this Gemara as saying that what it means, the mavel lishka, that if you get hana from it, you have to pay karen to the berek abayit, because he says, like he said before, that lo ne'anin v'lo mo'alin means there's not mi'ilah d'oraita and not mi'ilah d'rabbanan. Mila d'oraita means keren v'chumishin and asham. Mila d'rabbanan means pay keren. So if you have no mila d'rabbanan and no mila d'oraita, means you don't pay anything. So he says that cannot be the explanation of this gemara of the mavlishka. The mavlishka must mean that the value belongs to berek abayit, and that the gizbar is charged with going and selling it and getting the value for that for hekdesh, that he has to take care of it because it really should be monetized for the benefit of hekdesh. All right, next mishnah. Chalav amukdashim, which we just quoted before. Beitzei torim. It comes to the milk production of animals that are muktashim, or beitzei torin, or birds that are muktashim that produce eggs. Lo ne'anin v'lo mo'alin. They don't have a din of hana'a. They don't have a din of mi'ilah. Again, whether that means only midoraita, or even midorabanan, they don't have a din of mi'ilah. V'lo ne'anin, but you're still not allowed to get enough from them. Either there's nisir derabanan, or even maybe there's mi'ilah derabanan. But may the right moment, when is that true? But kodshe mizbeach. That's what we're talking about, kodshe mizbeach. Because by kodshe mizbeach, all we're interested in is what goes on the mizbeach. These items don't go on the mizbeach, therefore, they don't have a din of mi'ilah. Of a kodeshi berek abayit, when you're doing something that's given to the treasury of hekdesh, where the whole purpose of the item is to monetize it in its monetary value, hekdesh tanagolet, molim ba, ube beitzata. Then if you are makdesh a chicken, then the chicken that produces eggs, the eggs are also valuable. They're also being monetized for hekdesh and be better for the treasury. So those items will have a din of mi'ilah. They'll be kodeshi Hashem, both for the item itself as well as the production of that animal. Chamura, if he's makdesh a chamor. You are moel in it, and it's milk production. So here, pick two animals that don't go on the mizbeach, tarnagolet and a chamor, and they don't go on the mizbeach, and he's makdish them to berek abayit. Clear that he's makdish them for their monetary value to be given to the treasury. When that's the case, since it's all about its monetary value, there the production of the animal will also be valuable towards hekdesh, and it will have a din mi'ilah. It'll be classified as kodesh Hashem. So Mara says, elagabe mizbeach ki akdashak, when you're makdish it by the mizbeach, then, anytime you're makdish at kedushat tamim, lo yidbei mi'ilah, then it won't have a din of mi'ilah. Now this comes back to something that we learned before in Arachin, which is that there are different types of things you can be makdish. You can be makdish the animal itself, it's gufo to go on the mizbeach. You can be makdish an item to berak abayit to give to the treasury. But there's also this in-between status of makdish, which is that you're makdish an animal whose proceeds will be used to bring something on the mizbeach. So the Gemara says that the Mishnah only has two categories. It has a category of mizbeach and a category of damim. And it sounds like from the Mishnah that anything that's given to the mizbeach, then the production is not used or does not have a din in mi'ilah. Now, why don't we bifurcate? There should be a difference in the din between if you're makdish the actual object of the mizbeach. Over there, I understand why the production doesn't have a din in mi'ilah, because it doesn't go on the mizbeach. On the other hand, if you're makdish an animal for its monetary value to be used to bring something on the mizbeach, then why isn't it production also accounted and have a din in mi'ilah? Because all the value, the more value is, the bigger the korban, the bigger the thing you're going to bring to the mizbeach. But the whole hekdesh is revolving around monetary value. It should look like kochei berak abayit. So why don't we have that nuanced distinction in the Mishnah? Only a big distinction between mizbeach and berak abayit. Why don't we have this distinction within kochei mizbeach? Amar papa, Rabba answers chasuri mechsura. The Mishnah is actually missing somewhere. Zachik tani b'med, or emei shekdish kedushat aguf. That's only true when he's makdish the animal itself to go on mizbeach, to go on mizbeach. Avikdisho kedushat damim to go on mizbeach. He's makdish the animal for its monetary value to be placed on the mizbeach. Naaseh. It's like Mishek Disha Lebedek Abayit. It has the same din as if you're Makdisha Lebedek Abayit. Higdish Tanagolet Molimba Ubebeitzata Chamura Molimba Vachal Ava. So that's exactly what the Mishnah is doing. The Mishnah is saying that Bedek Abayit is different than Mizbeach, who's missing this transition stage, which said it's only true by Mizbeach for Gufo. But if it's Mizbeach for Damim, Mizbeach for Damim looks like Bedek Abayit, because there the monetary value is what interests us, and therefore the production will also have a din mi'ilah. Because that's also part of this monetary value. So that'll be true of something that's mukdash lemizbeach, but damim lemizbeach, and true of berak abayit. So that transitional phrase that Rapapa enters into the Mishnah brings us that breakdown of the nuance within mizbeach. It says, mizbeach gufo is what the Mishnah is talking about, and then mizbeach damim is just like berak abayit. Okay, we'll stop over here.